What's happening, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of Swag Talk, the show where we cover the swag inside and out. I am your host, Charles Wells, coming at you with this Week 8 recap. We're going to recap this little bit of rivalry, swag division deciding weekend. It was a busy weekend in swag football with three games on the schedule, and all three games were big in their own way. Two games went on to decide the East and the West Division, and the other game was just a straight bragging rights game. And we're not going to waste any time, man. We're going to hop on into this and get it going. Facebook.com/SwagTalk, Twitter.com/SwagTalk76, Instagram.com/SwagTalk, SwagTalk76@gmail.com is the email address. And we are on YouTube. YouTube, you can search Swag Talk Show. And that'll give you the page. You can go ahead and subscribe to that channel. Like all the videos, share videos, hit the notification bell on those videos so you can be aware of any time I upload content. We'll be uploading content at least three times a week on the YouTube. And nothing changes with the Swag Talk podcast. We'll be here on Wednesdays and Sundays as we have been for a hot minute. So we're not going to waste any time, man. We're going to go ahead and get on with this. We're going to start this off in a way that a game that started off at the beginning of the season appeared to be a big game. Wasn't really once the season got started, but still in the end, it's still a big game because it's a big rivalry game. And that's the Bayou Classic. Southern beat Grambling 49-7. In a game that Southern had total control from the opening drive of the game. Southern was in control of this game. Grambling came in here shorthanded with some COVID issues. They had not played a game since March. And then, you know, they had battled some COVID issues pretty much off and on, even up until the week of the game. So they came in shorthanded, and Southern did what a team in their position was supposed to do. And that's, you know, go ahead and knock these guys out the box and get it over with. Don't waste any time. And just go ahead and take care of business and get it over with. And Southern did that. They basically dominated from start to end. And this 49-7 is the largest margin of victory in the history of the Bayou Classic, and actually the largest margin of victory in this series, 39 or something like that. So this was a very, very on paper, a very dominant game for Southern. And it was a game that they, you know, they had to have, and they did what they had to do. They didn't mess around and let Grambling hang around, which was something that I thought would happen. I thought Grambling would play this game really close early, off of emotion mainly, and you know, just the fact that you're a lot better at the beginning of a game than you are at the end of a game where you have no depth. But Southern did what they had to do. They took care of business, and they got the W. So Southern opened up the scoring when Ladarius Skelton ran a 3-yard touchdown run with 8 minutes and 48 seconds to go in the first quarter. Extra point was good. That was a 12-play, 75-yard drive, 4 minutes and 46 seconds time of possession. Score was 7-0. Also in the first quarter with 3 minutes and 1 second left, Craig Nelson, 4-yard run for Southern. Extra point good, 10 plays, 57 yards. 4 minutes and 55 seconds time of possession. Score was 14-0. With 11 minutes and 24 seconds to go in the second quarter, Travis Tucker caught a 22-yard pass from John Lampley for Southern. Extra point good. 8 plays, 82 yards. Time of possession, 3 minutes and 29 seconds. Score was 21-0. With 11 seconds to go in the second quarter, Gerard Sims, 1-yard touchdown run for Southern. Extra point good. 5 plays, 78 yards. 3 minutes and 30 seconds time of possession. Score was 28-0, and that was your halftime score. Third quarter, 11 minutes and 40 seconds. Skelton, 3-yard run for Southern. Extra point good. 6 plays, 69 yards, 3 minutes and 11 seconds time of possession. Score was 35-0. With 9 minutes and 1 second to go in the third quarter, Grambling got on the scoreboard when Raylon Richardson caught a 13-yard pass from Elijah Walker. Extra point good. 7 plays, 75 yards. 2 minutes and 39 seconds time of possession. Score was 35-7. With 3 minutes and 22 seconds to go in the third quarter, Marquise McClain, 5-yard run for Southern. Extra point good, 9 plays, 68 yards, 5 minutes and 33 seconds time of possession. Score was 42-7. With 13 minutes and 46 seconds to go in the fourth quarter, Glendon McDaniel, 5-yard run for Southern, extra point good, 3 plays, 50 yards, 1 minute and 1 second time of possession, makes the score 49-7, and that would be the final. Southern had 19 total first downs, 10 rushing, 9 passing, none by penalty. Grambling, 13 first downs, 9 rushing, 3 passing, 1 by penalty. Southern, 232 yards rushing on 43 attempts, 5.4 yards per rush, 6 touchdowns. They only lost 2 yards all game as a team. That's, you know, that's really amazing. Only 2 yards lost the entire game. Grambling, 143 yards rushing on 36 carries, 4 yards per rush, no touchdown. Southern, 15 of 20 passing, 288 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. Grambling, 9 of 14 passing, 65 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. 520 yards of total offense for Southern on 63 plays, 8.3 yards per play, no fumbles. Grambling, Southern did fumble once and lost it. They didn't put that on there for whatever reason. Southern, 3 penalties for 47 yards. Grambling, 208 yards on a total offense on 50 plays, 4.2 yards per play, 3 fumbles, and they didn't lose any. They had 7 penalties for 70 yards. Southern punted 3 times for 100 yards. That's a 33.3 yard average per punt. They had 1 punt inside the 20 and 1 50-plus yard punt. Grambling punted 7 times for 227 yards, 32-yard average. 2 punts inside the 20, 1 punt for 50-plus yards, 2 punts spare cut. Let's see. Time of possession, Southern 34 minutes and 9 seconds. Grambling 25 minutes and 6 seconds. Southern 6 of 11 on third down. Grambling 3 of 11. 2 of 3 on fourth down for Southern. 0 for 1 on fourth down for Grambling. 6 red zone attempts for Southern, 6 scores, all 6 were touchdowns. Grambling 1 for 1 in the red zone, that one was a touchdown. Southern had 5 sacks, Grambling had 1. Southern was 7 of 7 on extra points, Grambling was 1 of 1. Neither team attempted an extra point, a field goal. Southern did kick a field goal, but it was they took it off the board because of a penalty. They were going to score a touchdown on that first drive. John Lampley led Southern with passing a 8 of 11, 143 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions, along with 37. Skelton, 6 of 8, 102 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, 45 yards with his long. McDaniel, 1 of 1, 43 yards. Lampley was sacked once. Elijah Walker, 9 of 14, 65 yards, 1 touchdown, no interceptions, 32 yards with his long, and he was sacked 5 times. Skelton, 7 rushes, 76 yards, 2 touchdowns, longer 26. Sims, 8 carries, 56 yards, 1 touchdown, longer 26. McLean, 2 carries, 20 yards, 1 touchdown, longer 15. Ben, 6 carries, 17 yards, longer 6. Lampley, 2 carries, 16 yards, longer 16. Muhammad, 6 carries, 14 yards, longer 5. Benjamin, 5 carries, 14 yards, long of 10. Nelson, 4 carries, 11 yards, 1 touchdown, long of 5. McDaniel, 2 carries, 6 yards, 1 touchdown, long of 5. And Corey Williams, 1 carry for 2 yards. Grambling, Lindamian Brooks, 9 carries, 71 yards, long of 41. Russell, C.J. Russell, 7 carries, 36 yards, long of 20. Elder, 5 carries, 19 yards, long of 10. Walker, 12 carries, 17 yards, long of 14. Breton, 2 carries, 4 yards, long of 3. Receiving, Ethan Howard led Southern with 5 catches for 80 yards, long of 37. McLean, 3 catches, 65 yards, long of 45. Perkins, 1 catch for 43 yards. Benjamin, 1 catch, 29 yards. Williams, 1 catch, 25 yards. Tucker, 1 catch, 22 yards and a touchdown. Valiant, 2 catches, 21 yards. And Hammond, 1 catch for 3 yards. Richardson, for Gremlin, 3 catches for 51 yards and a touchdown. Longer 32. Darrell James, 3 catches, 18 yards. Longer 9. Donald Johnson, 1 catch for 9 yards. Brooks, 1 catch for 2 yards. And Darrell Clark, 1 catch for -15 yards. Caleb Carter led Southern with 6 tackles. Anderson, 5. St. Junius, Azeem, Turner, Young, each had 3. Foster, Rivers, Jordan Lewis, Caldwell, Nash, Thomas, and Gibbons had 2 tackles. And they had a lot of people with 1. Tackles for loss, Turner, Young, Lewis, Rivers, each had 1. Thomas and Jackson had a half a tackle for loss, and sacks were by Turner, Young, and Lewis. Gremlin was led by Matthews with 11 tackles, Reed with 6, Boston 6, and Cameron Richardson with 6. Kenan Fontenot, Devonier Martin, Traylon Dunn, and Lewis Lane each had 5 tackles. Kobe Foster with 4. Asidu and Lee had 3 tackles. Stewart, Estes, and Sheffield with 2 each. Tackles for loss, Lewis with 1. Matthews, half a tackle for loss, and Richardson, a half a tackle for loss, and Lewis had the sack. So, honestly, you know, this game was what it was. One thing I do want to touch on before I move on. Southern started this game off with Skelton and Lampley on the field at the same time. They ran a couple of different packages off of that. So that may be something that you see moving forward. It went pretty well. You know, it was a good start to the game for them to kind of get things flowing and get things open early. And, you know, that may be something you see moving forward. Elijah Walker was, you know, he didn't have a lot of time to throw. He did make some good decisions. He, you know, he ran the ball fairly well. He didn't throw any interceptions, but he missed on a couple of throws. But what he had to work with, I thought he did pretty good. So if you are a Gremlin fan, I wouldn't be hesitant to see him play more with more experience. I think he can be a good quarterback. So that's a piece that, you know, you were able to discover in this turbulent season. So, you know, hopefully, you know, I mean, I know they have a highly rated quarterback coming in, but Walker should be at least in the mix if he can develop some consistency with his passing as they move forward. The season is over for both of these teams. This was their each team last game. And, you know, I think both teams will go ahead and prepare for fall time. And that's going to do it for this game. We're going to move on to the next game, which was a very entertaining game. I caught a little bit of it, but not enough. Pine Bluff defeated Prairie View 36-31 to win the SWAC West Division. And, you know, it was a good game. Prairie View came off of, you know, a long layoff due to COVID. But I thought they represented themselves really well in this game. They played hard. And they gave Pine Bluff everything that they could handle. And they actually had a chance at the end, but they just couldn't get it done. And like I said, the score was 36-31. Simmons got Prairie View on the board first when he caught a 28-yard pass from Trezon Connolly. Extra point was good. 5 plays, 73 yards. 2 minutes and 44 seconds time of possession. That score came with 12 minutes and 8 seconds to go in the first quarter. Prairie View led 7-0. The Golden Lions got on the board with 8 minutes and 40 seconds to go in the first quarter when Harry Ballard III caught a 34-yard pass from Skylar Perry. Extra point was good. 7 plays, 75 yards, 2 minutes and 42 seconds time of possession, 7-7. 2 minutes and 23 seconds to go in the first half. First quarter, Tony Mullins ran for 3 yards for Prairie View. Extra point was good. 2 plays, 47 yards, 23 second time of possession. Prairie View led 14-7. With 13 minutes and 21 seconds to go in the second quarter, Skylar Perry ran a 1 yard touchdown for the Golden Lions. 10 plays, 67 yards, 4 minutes and 2 seconds time of possession, 14-14. With 10 minutes and 42 seconds to go in the second quarter, Josh Wilkes caught a 5-yard pass from Skylar Perry to give the Golden Lions the lead. That extra point was blocked. Three plays, 2 yards, a minute and 15 seconds time of possession. Pine Bluff led 20-14. 8 minutes and 52 seconds to go in the second quarter. Travis O'Connor, 18-yard pass from Connolly. Extra point good, 7 plays, 75 yards, a minute and 50 seconds time of possession. Score was 21-20. Prairie View led at that point. With 6 minutes and 36 seconds to go in the second quarter, Tyron Ralph caught a 31-yard pass from Skylar Perry. Extra point was good. 6 plays, 60 yards, 2 minutes and 16 seconds time of possession. Score was Pine Bluff 27, Prairie View 21. And that was our halftime score. With 12 minutes and 37 seconds to go in the third quarter, Zach Pisniska kicked a 42-yard field goal for Pine Bluff, capping a 4-play, 4-yard drive, taking 41 seconds off the clock. With 7 minutes and 2 seconds to go in the third quarter, Villa Gomez for Prairie View kicked a 25-yard field goal, capping a 6-play, 38-yard drive, taking 2 minutes and 15 seconds off the clock. Golden Lions led 30-24 at that point. Pine Bluff scored in the fourth quarter with 12 minutes and 14 seconds to go when Josh Wilkes caught a 3-yard pass from Perry. The 2-point conversion was no good. 11 plays, 61 yards, 5 minutes and 11 seconds time of possession. With 7 minutes and 6 seconds to go in the fourth quarter, Kalen Rawls caught a 7-yard pass from Connolly. Extra point was good. 9 plays, 75 yards, 3 minutes and 55 seconds time of possession. 36-31 was the score at that point. And then in the end, it got really interesting. Pine Bluff had the ball. And they had the ball at the Prairie View 37 with a minute and 4 seconds to go. They ran the ball for a loss of 3 yards on first down. Perry ran the ball for a loss of 2 yards on second down. Prairie View took a timeout with 3rd and 15 at the Prairie View 42. Perry ran for a loss of 2 yards. And then there was a miscommunication. Pine Bluff was supposed to run the clock down and take a timeout and punt, but they actually ended up snapping the ball, and Skylar Perry lost 6 yards to put the ball at the 50. So Prairie View took over with 8 seconds at the 50, and then Connolly was sacked by Isaac Peppers to end the game. So not a lot of time for Prairie View to do anything off of that miss cue, but, you know, just the chance that something could have happened, you know, is always there. So that was a big mistake by Pine Bluff, but they was able to bail themselves out with a big defensive play to win the game 36-31. Prairie View had 24 first downs total, 6 rushing, 15 passing, 3 by penalty. Pine Bluff 18 first downs, 6 rushing, 9 passing, and 3 by penalty. Prairie View ran the ball for 70 yards on 25 attempts, 2.8 yards per rush, 1 touchdown. Pine Bluff 145 yards rushing on 42 carries, 3.5 yards per rush, 1 touchdown. Prairie View was 25 of 50 passing, 340 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. Pine Bluff, 16 of 33, 201 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. Total offense, Prairie View, 410 yards on 75 plays, 5.5 yards per play, 2 fumbles, and they lost both. So Prairie View turned the ball over 5 times in this game. They had 11 penalties for 107 yards. That's something that we've noticed for years for Prairie View. Penalties have been their downfall. Turnovers and penalties really did them in this game. Pine Bluff, 346 yards of offense on 75 plays, 4.6 yards per play. They fumbled 3 times and lost 3, so they had 4 turnovers. They also had 11 penalties for 84 yards. So this was a very ugly, sloppy type game that just didn't really get going the way it probably should have if it was cleaner. 4 punts for 95 yards for Prairie View. That's 23 yards per punt. Not good at all. Pine Bluff, 4 punts for 151 yards, 37-yard average. Time of possession, Prairie View, 29 minutes and 45 seconds. Pine Bluff, 30 minutes and 15 seconds. Prairie View was 3 of 12 on third down, 2 of 4 on fourth down. Pine Bluff was 6 of 16 on third down, 2 of 3 on fourth down. Red zone, Prairie View was 4 of 6. Pine Bluff for 3 of 4. Prairie View no sacks. Pine Bluff 5. 4 of 4 on extra points for Prairie View and 1 field goal attempt and one was made. Pine Bluff, 3 of 4 on extra points, 1 of 2 on field goals. Connolly, 24 of 49 for Prairie View, 341 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He was sacked 5 times. TJ Starks, 1 for 1 for -1 yard. Skylar Perry, 16 of 33, 201 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. He wasn't sacked. Connolly led Prairie View in rushing with 13 carries for 67 yards, no touchdown, longer 44. Tony Mullins, 10 carries, 5 yards, 1 touchdown, longer 7. And that's it for them as far as rushing goes. Skylar Perry, 12 carries, 45 yards, 1 touchdown, longer 17. Omar Allen, 14 carries, 44 yards, longer 16. Mateus Clark, 12 carries, 30 yards, longer 10. Williams, 1 carry for 16 yards. Josh Wilkes, 1 carry for 6 yards. And Herrera, 2 carries for 4 yards. Mullins led Prairie View with 10 catches for 114 yards, longer 27. Christopher Simmons, 3 catches, 102 yards, 1 touchdown, longer 45. Kobe Washington, 3 catches, 46 yards, longer 24. Kalen Riles, 4 catches, 42 yards, a touchdown, longer 22. Travis O'Connor, 1 catch for 18 yards and a touchdown. Chris Johnson, 1 catch for 9 yards. Ty Holden, 1 catch for 6 yards. Dejon Jones, 1 catch, 4 yards. Jalon Howard, 1 catch for -1 yard. Tyron Ralph led Pine Bluff with 7 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown, longer 31. Harry Ballard, 2 catches, 40 yards, 1 touchdown, longer 34. DeJuan Miller, 1 catch for 22 yards. Josh Wilkes, 3 catches, 16 yards, 2 touchdowns, longer 8. Jeremy Brown, 2 catches for 12 yards. Omar Allen, 1 catch for 11 yards. Story Jackson led Prairie View with 13 tackles. Reggie Stubblefield, 3 tackles. Bryce Turner, 7. Torrey James, Shelvin Hudson, and Tariq Moore with 6. Darius Campbell, Jalen Harris with 3. Trayshawn Smith, Jordan Williams, and Jason Dumas with 2. Tackle for loss, Jackson, 3.5. Stubblefield, 2.5. Smith, James, Hudson, Harris, Dumas, each had 1 tackle for loss. Turner and Williams each had 0.5 tackle for loss and no sacks. Interception was by Campbell. Pine Bluff was led by Kobe Watts and Sean Steele with 9 tackles each. Big Pen and Peppers with 6. Bentley, Brooks, and Akins with 4. Mitchell, Fuller, and Beard with 3. Singleton, Reeves, Gray, Smith, and Hamilton each had 2 tackles. Tackle for loss, Peppers and Watts with 4 each. Beard and Thigpen with 1.5 each. Gray and Akins with 1 tackle for loss apiece. And Hamilton and Steele each had 0.5 tackle or loss apiece. 3.5 sacks for Peppers, Watts with 1, and Gray with 0.5 sack. Interceptions, Thigpen with 2 and Beard with 1. So this game basically was a championship game, and it was very uneven. I mean, that's to be expected from Prairie View. They've been off for a long time. But, basically 5 turnovers is going to do you in. 11 penalties is going to do you in. Allowing 5 sacks is going to do you in. Running the ball for 70 yards and really not having a running back carry the ball unless, it's not going to win you very many games. Just the fact that they were in this game says a lot. So they're gonna move on from this game and try to improve. They play Jackson State on Saturday, so that'll be their final game. Pine Bluff has 1 game left against Texas Southern on Saturday. Although I don't know if that game is gonna be played because I think Texas Southern they canceled their game against Valley because of COVID issues, so I doubt that game will be played. So there may be an opportunity for Pine Bluff to take another off week before the championship game against Alabama A&M. So it was a pretty good game. It came down to the end, although just the final score and the final score and the actual game itself don't really match up. But I thought Prairie View came out and they played relatively hard, and they did some things that they did what they had to do to try to keep themselves in the game. They just couldn't get it done in the end. And Pine Bluff is now your West Division champs for the first time since 2012. So congratulations to the Golden Lions. You know, they did everything that you could ask a team to do in this kind of season, and they got the dubs as they needed them. They caught a slight break with the Alabama State game, but you know, there's no guarantee that their game was gonna go either way. So they did what they had to do. They got their dubs, and now they're going to the SWAC Championship. So our next game, which decided the East Division, which was close for a little while, and I was sitting there like, man, this game is not gonna be that high scoring. And then A&M caught fire in the second half and blew this game open, and won the Magic City Classic over Alabama State 38-14, and they win the East Division. So that sets up a matchup between Pine Bluff and Alabama A&M for the SWAC Championship. I'm not exactly sure where this game will be played. It's supposed to be played at the team, I guess the higher seeded team, so to speak. But both teams are undefeated, so I think Pine Bluff may have played more games, but we'll see how that goes in the upcoming week. But this game, it started off pretty good. It was very low scoring early. It looked like Alabama State was going to be able to control the ball running it. And then the quarterback, Ryan Nettles, got poked in the eye. And I think that kind of took a little bit of starch out of them. He didn't return after that drive. And they just really kind of lost steam after halftime. A&M got a late score before the half and came out the half and just, you know, they scored the rest of the points to win this game. So it was it started off as a game that looked like Alabama State could be in it. They just don't have the offensive firepower to hang with Alabama A&M. So once things started getting away from them, they just couldn't really keep pace. But Alabama State did get the scoring started with 8 minutes and 30 seconds to go in the first quarter, when Ja'Cory Merritt ran a touchdown from 1 yard out. Extra point was good, 11 plays, 95 yards. And that gave them the score, 7-0. 3 minutes and 14 seconds to go in the first quarter, Gary Quarles, 7 yard run for Alabama A&M, extra point good, 9 plays, 78 yards, 7-7 was the score. Second quarter, 7 minutes and 30 seconds to go, Michael Jefferson caught a 9 yard pass from Chris Scott. Extra point good, 11 plays, 58 yards, 5 minutes and 40 seconds time of possession. Score was 14-7. With 6 minutes and 42 seconds to go in the second quarter, Gary Quarles ran a 15 yard touchdown for the Bulldogs. Extra point was good, 5 plays, 85 yards, 14-14. With no time left on the clock in the second quarter, Spencer Corey, 46-yard field goal for the Bulldogs. That was the one-play drive. A&M, Alabama State had got a punt block right before the half, and the Bulldogs came out and kicked the field goal. So the halftime score was 17-14. Third quarter, 12 minutes and 13 seconds to go. Zabrion Moore, 44-yard pass from Glass. Extra point good, 9 plays, 78 yards. 2 minutes and 47 seconds time of possession. Score was 24-14. 3 minutes and 17 seconds to go in the third quarter. Again, Moore and Glass hook up for 38 yards this time. Extra point good. 31-14. And then with 12 minutes and 31 seconds to go in the game, Odu Hilaire caught a 2 yard pass from Glass. Extra point good. 9 plays, 52 yards. 38-14 was the score, and that would be your final score. Alabama State, 20 first downs, 11 rushing, 6 passing, 3 by penalty. Alabama A&M, 24 first downs, 5 rushing, 16 passing, and 3 by penalty. 181 yards rushing for the Hornets on 42 carries, 4.3 yards per rush, 1 touchdown. 95 yards rushing for Alabama A&M on 29 carries, 3.3 yards per rush, 2 touchdowns. 104 yards passing for Alabama State, 15-32, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. 372 yards passing for Alabama A&M on 25 of 41 passing, three touchdowns, no interceptions. 285 yards of offense for the Hornets on 74 plays, 3.9 yards per play, no fumbles, eight penalties for 76 yards. 467 yards of offense for Alabama A&M on 70 plays, 6.7 yards per play, no fumbles, nine penalties, 99 yards. State punted nine times with 302 yards, 33.6 yards per punt. 150 plus yard punt, one touchback, and six of those 6 punts fair caught. Alabama A&M 6 punts for 222 yards, longer average of 37. Time of possession, 31 minutes and 12 seconds for Alabama State, 28 minutes and 48 seconds for Alabama A&M. 7 of 17 on third down for the Hornets, 5 of 12 on third down for the Bulldogs, 0 for 1 for Alabama State on fourth down. Alabama A&M didn't attempt a fourth down conversion. Red zone, Alabama State 2 of 3, 3 of 3 in the red zone for the Bulldogs. No sacks for either team. Well, I think Alabama State did have a sack. They didn't. They don't show it on the box score. 2 of 2 on field goal on extra points for Alabama State. No field goals attempted. 5 of 5 on extra points for the Bulldogs, and 1 of 1 on field goals. Chris Scott, 13 of 28 for Alabama State. 89 yards, one touchdown, long of 14. He was sacked once. Ryan Nettles, 2 of 4 on. With 15 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, long of 15. He was sacked once. Akil Glass, 25 of 40, 372 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions, long of 44. He was sacked once. Ezra Gray, 19 carries, 101 yards, no touchdowns, long of 36. Ja'Cory Merritt, 11 carries, 47 yards, one touchdown, long of 14. Chris Scott, 5 carries, 9 yards, long of 9. Robert Rivers, 2 carries, 9 yards, long of 5. Jared Daniels, 1 carry, 9 yards, long of 9. Ryan Nettles, 3 carries, 6 yards, long of 7. Miles Crawley, 1 carry, no yards. Glass, 5 carries, 45 yards, long of 23. Quarles, 15 carries, 40 yards, long of 12, 2 touchdowns. Trenton McGee, 1 carry, 9 yards. Cameron Young, 2 carries, 9 yards. Tyrone Bell, 1 carry, 5 yards. And Antonio Robinson, 2 carries, 14 yards. Jahar Booker, 5 catches, 58 yards for Alabama State, long of 15. Michael Jefferson, 4 carries, 32 yards, 1 touchdown, long of 12. Terrence Ellis, 2 catches for 6 yards, long of 7. Wallace Corker, 1 catch, 6 yards. Ezra Gray, 3 catches, 2 yards, long of 3. Zabrion Moore, 4 catches, 138 yards, 2 touchdowns, 44 yards of the long. Ibrahim, 7 catches, 102 yards, long of 28. Odu Hilaire, 5 catches, 32 yards, 1 touchdown, long of 10. Brian Jenkins, 3 catches, 25 yards, long of 13. Anthony Howard, 1 catch for 24 yards. Wakefield Keon, 18 catches. 1 catch, 18 yards, and 1 set of broken ankles on the Alabama State defensive back when he caught that ball and changed direction. Man, I just had to give him props on that move. Man, he broke that dude's ankle so bad. Cameron Young, 1 catch, 17 yards. Terrell Gardner, 2 catches, 13 yards. Gary Quarles, 1 catch, 13 yards. Ershad Davis led Alabama State with 9 tackles. Clark, 5 tackles. Burgess, 4 tackles. Phelps, 4 tackles. Howard, 4 tackles. Ogletree, 4 tackles. Strong and Adesipi with 3 tackles. Mitchell, Rompersad, Webster, Brundridge, and Whitehurst each had 2 tackles apiece. Tackles for loss, Ogletree, 1.5. Howard, 1. Davis, 0.5 a tackle for loss. 0.5 a sack each for Ogletree and Davis. No forced fumbles and no interceptions. Alabama A&M was led by Kelly with 10 tackles. Armani Holloway with 6. Jamarian Green also had 6. Amari Holloway with 5. Denzel Davis and Selmar Russell with 4. Trenton McGee, Jonathan Struggs, Xavier Billingsley, and Hayden Guilford each had 3 tackles. Riley, McNeil, and Kushine with 2 tackles apiece. Tackles for loss, Kelly, with two, Kushine with two, Holloway and Green each had one tackle apiece, one tackle for loss apiece. Biambi, Russell, Guilford, and Narcisse each had a half a tackle for loss apiece. And Kushine had two sacks, no forced fumbles, and no interceptions. So this game, like I said, it started off one way. I don't know how much of a difference it would have been if Ryan Nettles had continued to play, but Chris Scott just didn't have it. You know, he tried, but he just didn't have it. I think they didn't really run the ball. They ran the ball 42 times, so they basically said they wanted to run the football. They just, you know, really couldn't get no major traction. Ezra Gray did get 100 yards, but he didn't really break too many runs. Alabama A&M did what they wanted to do with the passing game, especially in the second half. First half, it was really tight. Alabama State was getting pressure on glass. But the second half, Bulldogs found a way to get them receivers open. They dropped a few passes in the first half. Second half, they started catching them. And they made the plays that they needed to make. And now they're in the championship game. They're going to face UAPB. I'm trying to remember when I want to say 2010 or 2011 was the last time Alabama A&M went to the championship game. So this is two teams who have not been in the championship game in a long time are facing off. So that's a really fresh matchup. Last year, 2019, these two teams did play. Pine Bluff went to Huntsville and beat Alabama State pretty soundly, which kind of started this rise that Pine Bluff is on. So this is a very interesting game because this are two teams who are playing the best right now, and they're doing what they have to do. So this was a pretty entertaining season. Obviously, you know, with a COVID-shortened spring season, this is something that's unprecedented. Nobody knew what to make of it. Nobody knew how it was going to take shape, how it was going to take place. I thought it turned out relatively well, you know, even with all the stoppages and postponements and things of that nature. Also, some weather issues, because that was a very, say it with me again, unprecedented winter storm coming through right before the start of the season, which kind of hesitated some things. But, you know, this was a good season as usual, but on to the fall for the majority of the teams, and two more teams each have some situations to take care of with each other. Alabama A&M does have a game against Valley on Saturday. And then they'll be on to the championship game. And after that, Alabama State is finished with their season. So they finished their season, and now the SWAC is pretty much done. So that's going to do it for today's show. We'll be back on Wednesday to preview these two games if they take place, Pine Bluff and Texas Southern, which I'm not sure is going to take place. I'm quite sure Valley and Alabama State may take place if nothing comes up COVID-related. So we have two games on the schedule to talk about if they take place. And then we'll talk about the SWAC championship game when we get closer to it. So I want to thank everybody for listening and enjoying this spring season and enjoying the content that I bring to you. And we'll be back. So we have a YouTube video that's going to be popping off today. So also go check that out. If you hit your notification icon on YouTube, I wanted to let you know about that. So just go ahead and do that and be alerted when I upload content. So we'll see you guys on Wednesday, and we are out.